from being sung happy birthday to last night. Good to have all of you here today. And Brother Jim, it's all right, whatever you call me, I don't mind. I'm glad to have visitors with us this morning. Thank you for visiting with us. Good crowd here today. Be in prayer for those that are sick, traveling, and out of town, that they'll be back in their place. One couple sent word by their daughter and said, please let Pastor and Miss Kim know we are not missing church because of the Super Bowl. They wanted us to know that for sure, because they are from Georgia. They just had to go out of town. So we're glad that all you are here, and trust the Lord will touch your heart today. And if you're visiting for a second or third time, we thank you for having confidence and coming back and being with us. We're glad that you're here. And if there's any questions we can help you with about our church, please let us know. We'll be glad to sit down with you, talk to you, and spend time with you, explain to you anything you need to know about our church. We're just glad that you've got the confidence to come back. And if you're very first time, come back and be with us some more. And you'll realize that we are just a bunch of friendly folks around here who love Jesus, love to see what God's doing here at the church. Well, I think about over the years how God continues to add. And the only way God adds is because we do our part. He doesn't need us, but he says if we'll water and plant, he'll bring the increase. And so that's why it's so important. Keep the tracks with you. Invite people. Talk to them. Come out to visitation when you can. Be a part of our local outreach so that we can continue to see God add and get us back to the place where he would have us to be as far as numbers. You know, I've been here over, 8 years now, almost 9 years. Coming up, working on 9 years, and it's never been about the numbers to me. I want you to know I'm not looking for 1,500. I want God's number. We need spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is more important than numbers. And so I'm glad to see how God has grown our church spiritually and numerically. Might as well look over and see. We got a big spot over here, a little bald spot. Some of you guys that have some receding hairlines, you know what I'm talking about. Got a receding hairline right over here. The only way that's going to get filled up is we pass out tracts. And if you've got a receding hairline and that offended you this morning, God bless you. No, I'm serious. I wouldn't offend you for nothing. That's why mine is like this. Mine is receding and gone. So let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 this morning. It's hard to believe we done passed through 1 month of 2017. It's gone. Can't get it back. But we have February right before us, and we can put our foot to the ground, and we can be busy for God, and continue to pass out tracts, invite people to the house of God, befriend people who don't have a church, and just get them to the point where they realize that there is something they're missing because of your testimony for Christ. So stay busy at it. We got 2017 still full ahead of us, and we can stay at it. My wife and I was able to go visit with Miss Marisol and spend time with her this Friday night. That's a friend of Brother Randy's and Brother Hector's. They were co-workers up there, and she does need our prayer. I don't know about you, but if you were standing in need of a heart transplant, that's pretty vital, heart transplant. So be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for the family. It's been very difficult on Mr. Bennett, and with his wife in the hospital. She can't go home. She's there, has to be on a special machine. The special machine was acting up. They had to put her in ICU over this past couple of days. So, Lord willing, she'll move right on up above the on the transplant count and be right up there to number one before we know it. But till then, let's be in prayer. May God grant speedy. It's kind of a difficult thing to pray because you know the only way to get a heart transplant. Somebody else has to go home and be with the Lord if they're saved. If they're lost, they go to the devil's hell. So it's a difficult prayer, but God has given wisdom to our medical society to be able to come to the point where they can transplant a heart from one person to another and that person continue to live. So God is the God, a great physician, so y'all just pray for wisdom in that situation. John 14, and on the thought of the heart, God has led me this way today, a cure for our heart trouble. It will not be the answer from Miss Marisol, but for us it will be from the Word of God. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1, John chapter 14, verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, many people have troubled hearts today. I think about the world events that are around us, the things that are taking place, the acts of terrorism, the acts of taking life without cause because they value not life. If you would flip back to the book of Luke, chapter number 21, Luke chapter number 21, you'll see that this here is the time that is prophesied in Scripture of the difficult world events which we live in. Luke chapter 21 and verse 23, the Bible says in Luke 21:23, But woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And there's an exclamation point there, and God wants to put emphasis there. It says, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. And this is what it says, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. Listen what it says, with perplexity. You think it's a perplexed time which we live in? It is. God knows about it. God didn't wake up this last week and say, wow, what's going on in the world down there? In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And God controls. He's a sovereign God. He doesn't need help from anybody. He doesn't ask help from Gabriel or Enoch. He doesn't ask help. Hey, Isaiah, what you think's going on? God is in control. Verse 25 as we finish up. The sea and the waves roaring. The Bible says in 26, men's hearts failing them for fear. Suicide is on a rising increase as we look around us in the world today. I mean, people come to the point of thinking, how can I go on? And their only choice they have, they think in their mind, is to take their own life. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God more so today in history than we could ever even comprehend. If God moves upon your heart to call somebody, text somebody, send an email, poke, pod, Snapchat, Pixachat, whatever God moves upon your heart, your life, to reach out to somebody, dear friend, you don't know that at that moment God is saying to you, hey, you're on their last rope and last hope. Don't be lazy. Text, write, phone call, email. We can communicate now faster than we ever could. How many of you remember growing up? I remember this growing up in my age. I'm a young man still by terms. But I remember the phone ringing, and we had to wait to see if it was our ring. It was ding, 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 ding. That was ours. Pick it up. Now, you pick it up, somebody else picks up. Hey, get off there. This ain't your call. You know the party lines. It was difficult communicating. I remember the first time they talked about emails. Like, well, how does that work? I mean, we moved from fax to emails. Now we can text back and forth. Matter of fact, you can group text. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, and listen something. When the conversation's over, dear friend, delete that thing. Because y'all keep talking. I don't know what y'all talking about. It's past and beyond the group text. I mean, it's confusing. And my wife said, it's easy, hon, just block. And I thought about that. I said, well, what happens if I block all 10 of them and somebody needs me? Perplexity. The Bible says men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let me tell you, the world events, dear friend, they've got hearts troubled. Wow. When someone can go to someone's door and knock on that door, and when they open that door, just shoot them and kill them right there in front of friends, family, and everybody. For what? The events we live in. And our kids have to read about this. Our kids go to schools, and before they know it, three times in a quarter, they've been locked down because of something that took place around their schoolhouse. The events is perplexed. The world events like never before. The troubled heart. Then I think about over all the breakups in so many homes. You know that I coach high school baseball and talking to the kids. And we had to get some form signed and get some money brought in for their hat. I can't get the money today, coach, because my dad and his wife are over there. And my mom can't afford it with her husband. But my brother, he's got it because his dad, homes just destroyed. And if you're in that situation today, I'm not against you. But this is where we live, and people's hearts are broken and they're heavy, and troubled. And we're talking about the cure for our hearts that are troubled. This is reality where we live, folks. Unless you don't realize it and wake up, marriages have stayed together for a long term until death do them part. They're just far and few between. My daughter was at school just this past week, and she was talking with some of her friends, and she mentioned a brother here and a sister here, and one of the friends said, well, how many do you have? And she said, there's eight brothers and sisters, four boys and four girls. And she said, all by the same daddy? This is elementary school class. Broken homes. And broken homes brings heartache and trouble. And I tell you, the ones that mostly hurts is the kids. Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. My dad and mom got divorced when I was five. I do know what it's like to grow up without a father. It's painful. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking for the spouses, and they try to go at it another run, and before you know it, we're like the woman at the well. Five marriages, and the one now, they're just tired of even going to the justice of peace. They just said, forget it, we'll just shack up. And the heartache, and the pain, and the trouble, and the suffering, the moral decline. Look over in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. Well, it's so good to hear Bible pages turning. You visit some churches and on vacation and you say, you and the preacher are the only one that walk in with a Bible. Well, how are they going to know if he's telling the truth or not? I don't know. But dear friend, if you want to stay right with God, you have to have your Bible, your sword. You've got to know that what I'm saying is truth. Listen, we can't come to the point where I lead the blind. I just start giving opinions. Keep me in check. That's why God gave you the Word. That's why God put the Holy Spirit of God in you as a saved person, so that you can have an unction. You can have that Spirit that guides and teaches and enlightens you. Matthew 24:12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know why the moral decline we're in right now? Because of iniquity. Because in our churches, dear friend, in our churches you have problems and difficulties, and we oversee to just say, well, you know, it's a sin problem. Oh, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And Brother Jim, praise God for you. My dear brother, you got to stay pure. Deacons, you got to stay pure. Our deacons are in their 70s or 60s. What does that matter? We get to a point where we think, well, they're too old for that. Are you kidding me? Got to stay pure. Because these young couples out here are watching and looking and say, well, if Brother Bernie can get away with it, then I'm going to start. I can get away with it. And it just... Because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's a cold time in many churches, dear friend. Pastor's running off with this one and that one and another one and coming right back and pastoring. He runs off with another woman. He's checked himself out of the qualifications to be God's man. Is that simple? When pastors allow iniquity in their own life to abound, how in the world can our Sunday school teachers stay on fire for God? Amen. The moral decline. Look around us. Well, we're all up in arms. We get our banners. We go march and we get in front of an abortion clinic. Dear friend, the judgment must first begin the house of God. And I'm telling you, abortion's wrong. Amen. And we should. Life is something we should stand for. But if it morally declines inside the walls of the house of God, how in the world can the world stand without a lighthouse? The Bible says we are the salt. Troubled hearts. I mean, some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You can't even hardly turn the TV on anymore. Moral decline. Troubled. About the violence all around us. I already spoke a little bit about that. But you know, this past month, boy, here in Orlando, this past 6 months, I know some of you may be a little bit glad of what took place at the Pulse nightclub. Shame on you. And shame on them for their lifestyle. Because it's against God, not right by God, not right by the Bible. But it's not right that many people... his life was taken by some Islamic terrorists.
Amen.
Violence. Then that man killed his girlfriend and then shot that police officer and run around, and another two police officers and another one died because he was trying to get to scene. Another one wrecked and he was in the hospital. The violence. Just the violence all around. What can we do? Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. The cure is Jesus, dear. There's no other cure. None outside of Jesus Christ. The cure for the unsettled heart is found right there in verse 1, back in our text, John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You need to look around and everything's going on, and man, you're unsettled. You don't know what to do. You don't know, you know, it has hindered people from coming. Listen, I understand this. Violence and crime and thing, it has hindered people from even coming out and going on visitation at church. They're scared, don't know what to do. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen, why were the disciples troubled? Back up to chapter 13 and verse 21. John chapter 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." There's the disciples. They're sitting there. And Jesus comes out and says, one of you. The one knew who he was. But there's 11 other disciples sitting there around Jesus. And they're talking in conversation. And as they're talking, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Now their heart, can you imagine? Let me ask you this. Temptation is before you. Whatever it is, whatever temptation is there before you, and the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, and you're there, and you know that the weakness of your life and the weakness of your flesh and the appetite of your flesh, and man, there's that temptation right before you, whatever it is, your heart gets unsettled. Am I going to fall at this moment? At this moment, am I going to fall right back into this bondage of sin and this trap? And you're unsettled. There's no difference at that point of betrayal than when we fall back, because we betray Christ once and again. There's not a person in here, including myself, that could stand here and say that there's not been a time in our life that we fell and fell and fell into the same trap and the same sin and the same bondage time and time again. Oh, preacher, I'm moral. How about pride, buddy? Not a one of us can say that there's not been a time in our life that whatever the temptation is, that we have not in our heart. I don't know anybody here personally that says, well, you know, Brother Jay, I think today I'm just going to go sin. I don't think any one of you that I know personally, there's visitors here, but they're here in the house of God. We're in Orlando. They didn't have to come to church this morning. There's some from out of town. They could have once stayed at Disney and SeaWorld and went back to the future over there at Universal Studios. I don't care. But they're here in the house of God. So I can say with almost a surety that none of them woke up this morning and said, I just think today, by the end of the day, I'm going to fall and sin but 6-7 times. But your heart gets unsettled. Why was Jesus saying in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled? Not only that, let's look at verse 36. So this is on their mind. One of you is going to betray. Judas knew. But the other 11 were like, man, is it me? Is it what's going on? Now look at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Now he's saying we're going to be separated.
Listen, 3.5 years Jesus had been walking upon this face of the earth. He called these men. He spent time with them. He mentored them. He trained them. He loved them. He fed them. He protected them. And now he's saying, you can't go. It's unsettled time. And listen, their heart's unsettled. And one of us is going to betray. Now Jesus said, none of us can go. Some of you are making decisions right now, and your heart is unsettled. I mean, you might have to move, may have to change jobs, may have to, you're getting into new relationships, maybe you're fixing to marry. Some of you may sit here right now today saying, if she or he doesn't get right now this weekend, this is it. Monday, I'm gone. And you're unsettled. It doesn't end there. Look at verse 37. And Peter said to them, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? Man, he's asking. I don't know about you, but I can see Peter. This is the Peter who took the sword and whack, cut off an ear not too long ago. Why can't we? Verily, I say, and I will lay down my life for thee, he says in verse 38. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Wow. Now can you see why Jesus said in chapter 14, verse number 1, let not thy heart be troubled? You have Jesus saying in verse 21, one of you are going to betray me. 36, you can't go with me. Now, write directly to Peter. Peter, you're going to deny me. And the rooster won't crow until you've denied me three times. Wow. Now, do you understand why Jesus says, let not thy heart be troubled? In context, it's no wonder they're unsettled. Think about your life today. Think about it. I've betrayed him in the past. God, give me strength that tomorrow I will not betray him. There's been times when Jesus said, go here, and I did not rise and follow. There's been times Jesus said, stay and wait, and I went without him. And there's been times that I have denied him to the point like Peter, and that Holy Ghost of God would crow inside of my life and bring conviction. Jesus says, all this, let not your heart be troubled. One among you would fail, but Christ is always faithful. One among you would be a liar, but Jesus is always true. One among you would even witness the death of Christ, he says, but Christ is always life. I'm the way, the truth, and life. Let not your heart be troubled. So when your heart's unsettled, the cure is Jesus. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then there's the uncertain heart. The uncertain heart. Verse 4. Back in our text. Whether I go, you know. And the way, you know. That's what Jesus said. Thomas saith unto the Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? The uncertain heart. Some of you make decisions. You don't know if tomorrow, if you're doing the right thing or down the road, the will of God in your life. And you're not only unsettled, your heart is uncertain about what to do and where to go. Thomas is really clever here. I don't know if you caught that. Up to this point, it's been all personal. Like, go back to verse 1. Let not your. So you put your name there. That's personal. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye, personal, you, believe in me, in God, believe also in me. And all the way down, I, you. Thomas said, we don't know. Thomas wasn't even on his side. We don't know. He was the only one willing to say to the Lord, Lord, not only me, but I've been with these guys, and they don't know. There's times in your family that your heart and your life is uncertain. The things, the next step, what to do, when to do, what to do, where to do. The answer is getting to Jesus. We don't know. Life's questions. Some of you may even think of what lies behind the grave. It's an uncertain time, isn't it? Some of you are getting to the point of retirement. What should I do? Should I stay here? Should I move? Should I go? Should I do? Well, it's uncertain. Should I retire now? Should I wait? This, that, the uncertainty. The question of people throughout ages. What beholds and what is beyond tomorrow? So it's the uncertainty. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In my Father's house are many mansions. See, Jesus knows, certain. In my Father's house, when we're uncertain, He's certain. When we're unsettled, He's settled. You remember when the story, when He was in the boat asleep and the disciples on top of there and the storm came up? Who was settled and who was unsettled? Jesus. Asleep in the bottom of the boat. Asleep. And then for you that are sitting here this morning, you've never ever come to the realization that you need Christ. There's the unsettled heart, the uncertain heart, and then there's the unsaved heart. Jesus answered, said, I am the way, verse 6, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're lost this morning and you don't know your way and where you're going to go, what's going to be your eternity and what's going to hold tomorrow, may I say this with all humbleness and ease of grace that can come off my tongue. Hell is real. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, no matter what religion or how big the religion or how little the religion or what religion it is, without Jesus you will spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
But He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the reconciliation for the estranged, the truth, the illumination for the mind, and the darkness of sin, the light, the regeneration of the dead in sin. In closing, would you please turn to Revelation 3? And we're done. One more verse and we're done. Bear with me. Revelation 3 and verse number 20. Actually, let's back up a little bit. I don't want to start there in verse 20. This is about the church of Laodicea. This is one of the most saddest portions of Scripture that I read throughout the Scripture. Revelation 3. In verse 14, let's just start at verse 14. To me, this is one of the most saddest portions of Scripture. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You're not fooling Him. You're not getting away with it, folks. You're not going. You can fool me. You can fool the deacon. You fool the Sunday school teachers. You're not fooling God. He says, I know thy works, The Bible says if we're saved, we're His workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Okay? You're not working to get saved. You work because you are saved. You labor for the Lord because you want to say thank you. I know that works. You're not cold, you're not hot. I would thou were cold or hot, He says. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And this is what, verse 17. He said, I know thy works, but verse 17, because thou sayest. We've hoodwinked ourselves. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. That nothing includes God in our life. It's evident. You understand something? If you believe something, it brings action. It brings action into your life. I'm in need of nothing. And this is what he says. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Then he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love. This is what he's saying. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Knock. He's talking to the church at Laodicea. This is a church full of saved people. What constitutes a church? People born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized, and assembled together where two or three are gathered. I am there also. That's what the Scripture says. And now he's saying to the church of Laodicea, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice, they are my sheep because they hear my voice, says John. And they follow me. He's talking to saved people here. I'll come in and I'll sup with them. How sad. How sad. A testimony of God given to the church of Laodicea. You know the whole problem was? Unsettled hearts, uncertain hearts, not turning to Jesus, had done hoodwinked themselves. We can pay our way out of it. We can work our way out of it. What is it when you put things together, collaborate together, and we can come up with a plan together? And what we do, we plan God right out of our lives, out of our, and we prioritize God, and He's out. Are you sure, preacher? Look at America today. America has put God slap out of everything. Our churches are running themselves like businesses instead of God's church. And we're organizing God right out. Because we don't realize we're naked and blind and in need of Him. The saddest portion of Scripture I think I read is that portion right here. Let Jesus comfort your heart today. Let's stand up. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming. We're going to have a song of invitation. Maybe you're going through some unsettled things, and you need Jesus. Maybe it's uncertainty in your life. You don't know what's holding tomorrow. If tomorrow's evening, maybe your ends aren't meeting. You're working two jobs, three jobs. You're uncertain about your future. Come to Jesus. Fear His child. He will help you. Maybe you're just simply lost this morning. You need somebody to take the Word of God and show you how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whatever your need, the altar's here.